I can laugh for days.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yeah. Let's go.
Woo. You greedy bastard.
Selfish bastard.
What's up, New York City? What's up, Florida? Y'all stay warm down there.
No, seriously, that's the true statement for real. Oh, man. It's like, I can't even, think of a correlation for that. Because, yeah, I never would expect that to happen.
Not in Tallahassee.
Ever, so, yeah.
Savannah, Georgia, too.
Yeah,
but I remember I went to Florida A&M, so I was in Tallahassee for 4.5 years. Like, it got cold a couple of days with some winters, but I don't recall it snowing like that in the – you know, the thing's freezing. Like, I don't know about that. Tallahassee got blasted. That's crazy to see.
Do they even have, can they even buy coats? Do they have a place to buy coats? I mean, that's a crazy thing, man.
They got one. Coats? They break out the bombers when it's, 50 degrees. Florida people are hilarious.
Okay, I got you. Anyway, sorry about that, America. We are just kind of reminiscing on happenings and the state of affairs in the world and on the side of the town. But anyway, you're talking sports with the 12th man. Today is, of course, January the 3rd, on Wednesday. We're looking forward to a fantastic time of you and us and talking all that fun stuff, too. So without further ado, let me introduce the co-host, Mr. JQ. How are you feeling this evening, sir?
I'm good. I'm sorry for the Tallahassee, digression. I spent time in Tallahassee, so when I see that, I'm like, oh. And, yeah, I'm doing good, man. Just the people out there listening, we had a ball at the Falcons and Panthers game. I might have cussed Matt Ryan out a couple of times for some of his decision-making. But the Falcons won.
First out, who a couple times? Matt Ryan?
JQ was going off. It was hilarious. I was agreeing with you. Yep. Oh, man. That was crazy talk. We had fun, though, man. Like I said, it was good to see
absolutely.
See my man. And like I said, hope you guys check out
supposedly
the
JQ had a bad influence on Andre. Andre is getting lit and carrying on now these days.
It's his birthday, man. You got to. Happy birthday, Dre.
Oh, yeah,
Appreciate that, yeah, man. Doing this on my birthday. Had a great day showing the wife showed me some love, man. So it's good, man. Yeah.
You got spoiled?
I got spoiled, man. She showed me a lot of love, man. So I'll post some pictures a little later, too, man. So, yeah. But, yeah, like I was going to say, and JQ, you nailed it on the head, man. And he's not a bad influence, Rob. It was just good. It was just neat because it's already there, man. You gotta celebrate, you know. It's one time a year. I didn't get too crazy, but let's say I did have a little something to kind of that was nice, but it was fun, So good times for sure. That other voice here is Robert Ford. How you feel, Robert?
Yes,
congrats,
sir.
Man, on the division, right?
Oh man, doing great, no issues. Make it do what it do.
That's all you got?
Yeah, I got a little twisted before the game by myself, but it's okay because I wasn't paying those stadium prices.
They weren't too bad though.
Yeah, I figured you were a little drunk because you had on the Falcons hat with Ohio State gloves. So
it was cold. That's the gloves I had. Those are the gloves I had available, so I wore them because it was cold outside that day, Jack. It was cold for real.
They did the 1-2 on us, bro. Because I gotta admit, I was trying to rush to get to JQ, and I was like, man, it was supposed to be not this cold, so. Even afterwards, man, I was as fast as I ever ran afterwards, man. That was nuts. So, anyway, Rob, what you eat tonight, bro? You're not going to tell us what you ate like you always do?
It's all good. Nothing major.
Rob trying to get back in the playing weight. He's trying to get back in the playing weight. He ain't eating all that fatty food.
Years over here.
I have to hit that treadmill.
Oh, yeah. I've lost 11 pounds. Got a few more to go.
See, I told you.
Rob gets back to his playing weight. Let's throw out some numbers. And as we said in the intro, we appreciate y'all checking in. Lou from New Jersey, from Florida. I don't know if our Florida person is going to call us. He may be a little too cold. But, again, you want to reach out to us, that number is always at 424-243-9519. Hit us up on that. Follow us on Twitter, at the number 12, THMAN Sports. Find us on Facebook as well, facebook.com/12thmansports. Or if you put in Talking Sports for the 12th Man, you will find us. We got some great shots that I would have posted for the last game too. And, JQ, don't let Rob give you a hard time about the Ohio State gloves too, man. It was a perfect scenario.
Hey, man.
So, you're representing, bro.
Whatever. It was
Andre
cold.
Andre just happy you got on any kind of Falcons gear, man. That's all.
This is another topic for another part of the show. We all had a Julio jersey. Yeah,
we did, man. We did. We had some ladies trying to take pictures of us. It was nuts, man, because we all had Julio Jones jerseys. It was good, man. So we'll talk about that too, because and JQ, I mean, his words about Matt Ryan, I mean, there we got to talk about that in the OT portion, because that was hilarious. But anyway, let's talk about getting caught up in the week. You had me rolling, and let's talk about the college football, man. So obviously we had a very eventful weekend, some great games, and the first topic off the bat is if the college football playoff committee got it right by putting Alabama in over UCF. And since you're from Florida, or you went to Florida A&M, JQ, I'll let you kind of take the first stab at that and tell us your thoughts about that.
Oh, no days. Listen, I will applaud UCF for having a really good year and turning around and going undefeated and beating a good Auburn team. That being said, who's putting UCF in over Alabama? Come on, man. Stop it. Don't put another national championship, put a championship banner up, tell them you got a split title. No, you do not. Just leave that alone, UCF. I think you could say they got it right. I mean, Ohio State looked good against USC. UCF looked good. But, I mean, Alabama took down the number one team in the country in Clemson. So, having seen them dominate that game, I mean, just defensively smothering the Clemson offense, how can you be mad at that? They did what they were supposed to do, getting the four seed. And they beat the one seed convincingly.
Yeah. Wow. Good call. Rob, you're up.
Well, I've said this before. Anytime you don't make it to something, you have nobody to blame but yourselves. If you lose the game, you can't blame the officials. You got to overcome that. You got to find a way to win the game. If you don't get selected to something, we talked about this with Ohio State. Even though I thought Ohio State was a more deserving team, they have nobody to blame but themselves, because they should have beat Iowa or Oklahoma or beat them both if they wanted to really be in. And UCF, if you want to go undefeated, you got to have a tough schedule. You got to beat somebody. And so there's nobody to blame but themselves for not being in. And so, great season, great win over Auburn. Now, if you maybe would have beat Auburn on the road in the regular season, and Auburn, you know, wound up beating Alabama and Georgia after the fact, hey, you might have a case. But you can't just say that just because you beat them in the bowl game. And so, absolutely, I would not have put Central Florida in. As much as I hate Alabama, the evil empire, as much as I hate them, no, you cannot put Central Florida in based on the schedule that they played over Alabama. Now, that being said, you know, I know this is one of the topics coming up soon about an 18 playoff. I would love to see something like that. And I would love to see the Power 5 conference champions automatically get to the playoffs with two at-larges and one of the non-Power 5, the best non-Power 5 school getting. So let me say that. So in that case, UCF would have got in as an 8 seed in my book, and they would have played the number 1 seed, Clemson, in the first round. You would have had the number 2 seed, Oklahoma, playing number 7, USC. You would have had number 3, Georgia, playing number 6, Wisconsin. And then in a heck of a game, you would have had number 4, Alabama, against number 5, Ohio State. I would have loved to see something like that. But even in that scenario, you can make a case that we would still have Alabama and Georgia in the championship game, or maybe Ohio State, Georgia, depending on that Ohio State-Alabama matchup. But so I think we will be right back. I mean, we will be right back to where we are right now anyway. Well, like I said, with either Georgia versus Alabama or Ohio State versus Georgia. If Ohio State had opportunity to play Alabama, you never know. But definitely, I think the committee got it right with Alabama.
Well, you know what?
Like I said,
over UCF, that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to piggyback on here since he broached on that other topic. I would disagree slightly. I would do 16s because I would want – the regular season to mean something. So I would give the 1 and 2 seeds byes and then go 3 versus 6 and 4 versus 5. I feel like you get the 5 champions and get 1 wild card. Because even in that scenario, okay, UCF still gets left out. But you're not putting UCF in, to Rob's point, with their biggest win coming in their bowl game. Like, I still wouldn't put them in over Alabama. I would like to make the regular season mean something and get and reward the 1 and 2 seeds, you know, still fighting for getting that bye, so to speak. So it's going to get expanded. I like 4, but I can see going to 6 or all 5 Power Conference champions get in and give 1 wild card to whoever's the best team that didn't win their conference. That, to me, is fair.
Yeah, that's something, like you said. Yeah, good call. I like what Rob said, too. It's kind of cool to have that as well. And I actually pulled up their schedule, guys. And, again, nothing's going to really frighten you. I mean, you know, they didn't play Georgia Tech because that game got canceled. But, you know, you played against, you know, Memphis, Maryland, Maine, Cincinnati, East Carolina, Navy, Austin Peay, SMU, UConn, Temple. UCF was your toughest probably squad, in squad. And then,
yeah,
you know,
USF,
obviously,
yeah,
playing Memphis. Yeah, USF, University of South Florida. And then number 20, Memphis, whenever they became ranked near the end of the year.
Yeah.
But, again, nothing that's like, you know, that's a tough schedule. So, again,
yeah,
as Robert said, you know, you got to get a tougher schedule to play. If you want to get with the big boys, get some big boy football. Now, I will have to say, guys, we thought that UCF was going to get their tail kicked in because they were talking junk about
I did.
You haven't seen speed yet.
Yeah, we all
that
did.
That was a good call. So they actually
yeah.
held their own. So give them credit, you know, because Auburn – Auburn was a pretty good squad against Georgia, so you gotta give them some credit, though. I'm not saying that they're all that, but again, you know, was it because they were definitely well prepared, or just, you know, they handled their business, because we thought they were just going to get blown out, but they clearly didn't. So, again, UCF is on the come up, but again, they're not, you know, you got to get a tougher schedule for sure. So I'll give them, you know, a thumbs up for that, but, you know, they're on
hey,
the outside looking, as we talked about. Yeah, I know.
Austin PP is on the schedule? Come on.
Yeah. Well, again, hey, Alabama has their you know, cupcakes, too.
Yeah.
So, I'm, you know, but, again, they're in the
– Well, yeah,
that's
just
so, you know,
Mercer,
you know.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
73 to something crazy like that, you know. So, yeah, everyone
yeah.
has it.
Yeah, this ain't
so
basketball.
Yeah, true indeed. So, Rob, did Alabama get their identity back with the win over Clemson, do you think?
Well, I think – you know, you look at toward the end of the regular season, Alabama was really banged up defensively. And obviously Auburn outplayed them. And, you know, I thought LSU and Mississippi State with a few bounces here and there could have had some success against Alabama too. And so this is what we saw in the game against Clemson in the Sugar Bowl is more what we used to seeing with Alabama. I know Deshaun Watson is about the only quarterback that we've seen that had really sustained success against Alabama the last few years. Even in the loss a couple of years ago, he really did a tremendous job throwing and running the ball against that Alabama defense, and we've seen the success he's had in the NFL here thus far. But, yeah, they just totally dominated the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And Clemson is very strong. Their strength defensively is their defensive line. And if you notice, Alabama, instead of running right at them a lot, they was getting out to the perimeter on them. Which was a really good game plan offensively on their part as well against Clemson. They just dominated the line of scrimmage in the game. It's really what we used to see from Alabama. Alabama football team, as much as I hate them, I would say definitely what we used to see with Alabama, that is their identity, and they got it back against Clemson.
Yeah, There's only one other quarterback I can think that I think has had multiple games, a good game against Alabama, and I would go with Chad Kelly with Ole Miss as well when they were giving Alabama fits there for a couple of back-to-back years. So they won one of the games. I think they might have won two. I think it was Chad
yeah,
Kelly.
So
but you're right.
Yeah.
I think that you just want – they did what they normally do, to Rob's point. And the layoff, and I told you when we talked about it last week, everything points to Clemson, but you give Nick Saban a month to prepare and let them get healthy. I just like that he's not going to lose Dabo twice in a row, and that's what happened. You're right,
yep.
Great game plan going outside instead of trying to run into the teeth of that defense. But they also just exposed that Clemson offense. It's not a high flyer when that defense can clog those running lanes, and you make Kelly Bryant a passer, and he's not sure that. So, Alabama. I don't think Alabama ever really left. I think Alabama was just more banged up, and Alabama's just set such a ridiculous bar for themselves and for everybody else that if they don't live up to that bar, then something is wrong. But if you gave that bar to any other school, people would be doing cartwheels. You know what I mean? So it is what it is. They're who they are.
And they were truly motivated. I mean, we saw this when they went to the national championship game against LSU in 2011. And everyone was saying, oh, they don't belong there, they don't belong there. When you get a team like Alabama that constantly hears that on a regular basis, you know they're going to be motivated. And they were clearly motivated to play that game against Clemson on Monday night, just as they were in that national championship game in 2011.
Yeah,
it was kind of like they were kind of waiting to weeds, just wait for that moment, guys. That's the way I felt like. And we said it earlier, everyone was talking about how Clemson was kind of the team to beat and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And, they were held out. I was like, yeah, we got you, bro. We know exactly what we wanted to. So they definitely suffocated that Clemson and kind of took back that role that Mansfield said. We are one of the better teams, and Nick Saban as well. We'll stay on the topic, guys. And let's talk about quarterback play, because we were talking about, JQ, you mentioned the suffocating play of, Kelly Bryant. He's not there yet. And you both, Rob, you as well, as far as that drop-off. And I guess let's talk about this, because, again, is it because Kelly Bryant is young? I mean, tell us your thoughts about this, Rob. What do you think about Kelly Bryant? And then we'll talk about, some quarterback play as well in the way, that Ohio State, y'all don't have to do that to Darnold, oh, by the way, JQ. But, Rob, talk about that drop-off. From what is Watson to Kelly Bryant there, sir?
Well, obviously Kelly Bryant has had some success during the regular season, but I thought he was most dangerous in the regular season whenever he tucked the ball under and ran. And, I mean, he did have some success throwing the football. And even to some degree in the regular season, he had more success throwing the football than Jalen Hurts did. I will say that. But I think overall, and we even talk about this from a scheduling standpoint, Alabama lost his one game on the road at Auburn. Clemson lost his one game against Syracuse. So I think you can still make a stronger case that Alabama went against tougher competition than Clemson did. And I don't know if they played stronger competition than Ohio State, but I think from when you look at the competition they played versus Clemson, you can make a case that they still played a stronger schedule than Clemson did. And so Kelly Bryant obviously is young. He's only a sophomore. I don't think he's got the moxie and the exposure or the ability that Deshaun Watson has. So it's a big drop-off there, in my opinion. And that's not saying nothing against Kelly Bryant, because probably 99% of the quarterbacks in college football are not as good as Deshaun Watson was at the quarterback level. And so that's just a big difference. We saw what Deshaun Watson did in the NFL this season. And so we saw a guy that's more than capable, once he gets back healthy, of being a stud in the NFL. And we saw that he was a stud against Alabama. You definitely could not expect the same from Kelly Bryant.
Tough call. Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, I mean, he's young. And, I mean, expecting him to do that against Nick Saban, a led team that's got a month to prepare for him, yeah, I expected him to have that struggle. I didn't really think that Clemson was going to blow Alabama out. I thought that Clemson defense could do a little something to make Jalen Hurts in that running game more uncomfortable than they were able to do. I don't know. The Clemson schedule, they also played Auburn. Clemson's got a pretty, I think their choice of schedule is actually pretty high, Rob. I forget the exact stats.
They got Auburn at home, though.
Yeah, but they play, like, eight top 30 teams or something crazy like that. Their schedule's not bad. But, it's just that it's Alabama and Nick Saban and what they're able to do is just a whole other different animal. They are those dudes right now. And you can like them or not. I'm not an Alabama fan, but, that dude has titles with S, with a Z at this point. He's got titles like the Ohio Players. He's got, on the end of that, he's got titles with EZZ. Like, he's ridiculous. So, I'm not going to fault, and kill Kelly Bryant for that. I mean, he faced a really tough team his first time out in the playoffs. And, you hope if you dabble that he'll learn from that and come back better.
Yeah.
Well, they got another heck of a recruiting class coming in. So they're definitely going to be in contention, just like Alabama will year in and year out.
Yeah. Like I said, these two programs are rising to the top here. We'll see if anyone else can challenge them. Florida State was on the cusp, but definitely Clemson is definitely the cream of the crop right now. And like you said, just a good call as far as Deshaun Watson. And like I said, competition will make Kelly Bryant better, I think, guys. Until that, you know, recruit comes in to kind of challenge him, we'll see how he grows and develops. So he can either go one way or the opposite way for sure, guys.
We'll see how the ACC looks here in the next few years. Obviously, you know, Miami, even though they lost their last three games, including the bowl loss to Wisconsin, you have to think that they may be on the way up. We'll have to see how Florida State recovers with losing Jimbo Fisher and going to Willie Taggart. Obviously, being in Florida, both of those programs you think will be have no problem recruiting.
And so it's going to be
interesting to see how those two – Clemson is going to be there. I mean, you look at this class they got coming in right now. I mean, they're able to recruit – Clemson is able to recruit Florida. They're recruiting Georgia. And the few players that they have in South Carolina, they're in on. And, of course, North Carolina is also another state that's producing some top-notch talent, and they're in on those guys too. And so they're going to be around here for a while. So it's just going to be a matter of who's going to be that other or two other programs in the ACC to compete with them.
Hey, so watch out gentlemen, for the
Yep, good call too.
Yep.
All right, gentlemen.
Yeah, that you know that Tidewater area is also an area that produces a lot of great players, and yeah, Virginia Tech is usually in on those players.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Like for
this next topic, you know. This next topic. Oh, I'm sorry. When you guys wrap it up, I'm excited here.
Go ahead.
Are we good on that?
Go for it.
Yeah, go ahead. This next topic is interesting because we talked about we didn't talk about you know the matchup. You know, Michigan at South Carolina. Everyone kept remembering that crazy hit that Jadeveon Clowney made during this rematch game. Mm-hmm. Interesting setup because you know now what happened and seeing kind of a little chink in Jim Harbaugh's armor here. And I'm going to kind of tie this to kind of the NFL because, you know, we know what happened. There's been a lot of coaches that got fired and, you know, bringing this around. So is this make or break here for Jim Harbaugh? And kind of on a little side note, is he kind of have one ear back on the league? Like, okay, you know, should I go back to Indy to the Colts? You know, that's another thing too because, again, I'm not saying and trying to put that out there, guys, but just, you know, is it something he may kind of consider now because, again, I'm sure there are certain expectations, and, you know, you're a Michigan man, but what's really going on, I guess, is the question, too. I think there's a lot of things that are happening, too. So what's your thoughts about that, JQ? Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, it ain't just a change. It's a whole lot of change. You put that in there with the fact they lost last year to Florida State, I believe was in the Orange Bowl. He's got a losing record against Urban. He's got a losing record against D'Antoni. I mean, he's got a lot of things working against him. He's not winning bowl games. He's not winning against his rivals. But the thing is that he has this ridiculous aura that people keep giving him second chances. I fully believe that even if Michigan sacked him, that he would have more than one NFL team. If it happened right now, it's where he had a chance to landscape all these NFL openings, he would have more than one opportunity at the NFL level if he wanted it. And I don't think he deserves it, but I think that's the reality. I think that's the reality, though. I think he would have to, fail again. Yeah, but somebody's going to line up. It's going to be more than one. It would be more than one team, in my opinion. He's going to have to fail again before I think some of that luster wears off. But they're going to give him the benefit of the doubt on failing at Michigan because he's won everywhere else.
Wow. Rob?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, those are definitely some valid points. It's definitely time for him to do something there at Michigan. He doesn't have a Big Ten title yet. He hasn't beaten his arch rival Ohio State yet. And as a Michigan head coach, you have to do those two things from a football standpoint. And if you're going to be considered one of your top head coaches in the country from a Michigan standpoint, you have to beat your rival Ohio State, and you have to at least win the Big Ten championship, I would at least say once every 3 to 4 years, and he hasn't done that yet. So I would definitely think that I don't think Michigan will fire him, but I think, you know, there'll be some rumblings if he doesn't achieve one or both of those things on next season. He's going to have to either win the Big Ten or he's going to have to beat Ohio State next season to start pleasing that fan base up at Big Blue Country in Ann Arbor.
He's been known as a quarterback guru, and he hasn't quite had his quarterback just yet. So I know he's getting
Shea Patterson.
He's getting Shea Patterson. Shea Patterson has got to sit out a year.
I don't think so. They said because of the
probation. You're right.
Next year, this is why I think he should have the quarterback.
We'll see. It should definitely be a make or break season for him.
We know how you feel about that, JQ. But I'm just saying in a nutshell, I think that I do wonder what's going to happen. Like you said, Rob, he may get – I don't know if he's sick of it, but that Colts job, you know, could be waiting there. I mean, you throw enough money at him, it may be like, hey, this is really isn't what I thought. You know, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but, you know, again – well, he's got a couple more years, and I think he's going to end up right back in that scenario too. So that's just me. I'm not putting anything out there, but I'm just keeping an eye on that. That's what I'm saying for sure. So, you know,
yeah.
College.
I definitely think at some point he goes back to the NFL. I really do. And I don't know if now is the time, even with that Colts opening, because right now there are a lot of health concerns with Andrew Luck. So I don't know if he's going to, you know, jump to the league right now. I still think he has some unfinished business at Michigan. But I do believe at some point he's going to take that leap and go back to the NFL.
Fair enough. All right.
Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold both officially declared for the draft.
There he is. That was kind of a surprise because not a surprise in that, but there's some rumblings that he didn't want to – play for the Browns, Rosen, if you will.
Neither one of them do. Neither one of them do.
Well, Darnold's kind of
maybe
like,
they
yeah,
both came out and said.
Yeah,
they both, they might have both came out and said, we just take a 50-50 chance. You know what I mean? Like, we both come out. Right. Then I left my chance.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Right.
That's crazy. But, yeah, we'll definitely keep an eye on that as well, because I remember I was reading that. And I was like, yeah, he said he didn't have to go. He was thinking about coming back to school. And then, yeah. And we'll talk about not playing in bowl games too, guys. I want to get your thoughts about that too, because, you know, again, you've had some rumblings like, you know, this guy didn't play because of concussion, you know, whatever. But, yeah, we got a lot to talk about. I think we talked enough about college football adding more teams to the playoffs. I think you kind of touched on that, Rob. So if you want to kind of elaborate too much on that, I mean, I think we kind of hit that too. But your call on that topic, sir.
Well, yeah, I think we elaborated. I think we both gave our opinions. JQ's in favor of six. I think if you are going to do it, in my opinion, you go eight, and every team plays that additional round. And the only reason why I would go the eighth route, just to include a non-Power 5 school, it'll be a little bit harder to do that with six schools. And so, yeah, if you include eight, you get your five Power 5 conference champions, you get two at-large schools, and you have to have at least the best. Non-Power 5 school in that eight. Like you do with the NCAA tournament and basketball, what you do is you get your conference champions in, you get your at-large schools, and you even still give the small schools that opportunity. And so I would at least include one non-Power 5 school the opportunity to be in the playoffs. And even in this year's case, UCF, even though they were undefeated, they would have been the 8th seed in my book. And based on what we saw, the way they played against Auburn, I think they would have a chance to beat Clemson in a 1-8. And they definitely wouldn't have won the championship.
Give them a shot, Jim.
Even if they would have beat Clemson, whoever would win out of Alabama and Ohio State, I think would have beat Central Florida in the next round. But I think based on what we saw here in these bowls, Central Florida would have had an opportunity to upset Clemson in that matchup.
Listen, I'm going to have to disagree with you on this point. There's two things. One, this isn't basketball because it's so much more easier to be done for the next round of football than it is to play a basketball game and get injured and be hurt and be done for the next game or the next couple of games if you keep advancing. That's why I don't think you can put that as a model, because just the physicality is different. And I think you could do that more so if it was football wasn't having that big a risk level, but it does. The second piece is, how often do you get an undefeated Central Florida? I mean, yes, you get them once every, 5 years, where you get a school from the non-Power 5 and say, you know what, that team probably could hang with the big boys. But that's not a year-in and year-out thing. How often are we going to have years where they're guaranteed a spot if you go to eight and guarantee them a spot, and we get somebody like, man, come on, these dudes are going to get crushed, and they get crushed. Now we're rethinking it again. That's my only point. It's not happening enough at the non-Power 5 school level year in and year out to guarantee them a spot at the table. They should get all consideration for that final spot and going to six in my scenario. But to guarantee them 1-8, that to me is risky of getting some bad games.
You're only talking one out of eight. You're only talking one out of eight teams. And how many years have we had a team like Boise State be 11-0 or 11-1 and didn't get that opportunity? We've seen Boise State pull several upsets in bowl games. And don't get it twisted. I think what it's going to come down to, I don't think we'll see a school like that win a national championship, but I think a school like that can pull off that first-round upset like you do see in the NCAA tournament and make it to the next round. And
you can't do another round of games if you're going to say that you don't think they can win the title. If you don't think they can realistically win the title, then why are we guaranteeing them a spot at the table?
They deserve the opportunity.
They deserve. I agree with Rob. They deserve that opportunity.
The opportunity is there, and I think it brings an element of excitement to the game, too,
from a fan standpoint.
Orlando Brown also declared for the draft today, too. Offensive tackle from Oklahoma. He'd probably be a top five, top six pick. But I think it gives them an opportunity and to at least see what they're capable of. You can make a case. Even this year, Central Florida could have pulled out the upset against Clemson.
My only point is to your own words of if you go to 8 and guarantee 10, when you just said you don't think they'll ever win a national championship. So I
but they deserve they deserve at least the chance. And even from the scheduling standpoint, what you have to realize here too, I don't know if Central Florida attempted to play any of these big schools in the regular season. They may have. And maybe none of the schools wanted to play him. So we don't know that. We don't know what goes on behind the scenes all the time.
But that's not how it happens, Rob.
So if they do go undefeated and none of these schools wanted to play him, you at least give them an opportunity in the playoff system. And like I said, every year there's a non-power five school that at least you may not get an undefeated one every year, but you definitely get an undefeated one at least once every 2 to 3 years. And in the years you don't have an undefeated one, you're at least going to have one that's going to be like 11-1 or 10-2 at worst. But you're going to have them going 11-1 and 12-0. That happens pretty often where you at least have one of those schools that go undefeated.
I'm just saying, you know how scheduling works. That normally is done 3 or 4 years in advance. If you look back to UCF's, not too recent track record, they didn't win any games. So I think two or three years ago, they could have scheduled. Yeah, they could have scheduled somebody, and then somebody would be like, "Okay, that's a tomato can." They might have ran into a buzzsaw this year, but it doesn't really happen year to year where you know that school is probably going to be good, and you say no. It doesn't normally happen that way in football. It's normally 3 or 4 years out where they have the home and homes already set for the next 4 or 5 years. You know, like for LSU, their schedule is pretty much set for the next 4 or 5 years. So I hear what you're saying. You do get that air of excitement, but if you know, and most people, if you say 75-80% of people who follow college football say, I don't think that any one of those teams will ever win a title. I just have a hard time with those numbers saying, okay, then they are guaranteed a spot at the table when nobody thinks they can win it. So why are we giving them an automatic seat at the table? Because we're going to have a year where there's going to be some more parity around the Power Five schools. You're going to say, is that, one loss Wisconsin team better than UCF or Navy or whoever, but that team can't get in because you've given one of the spots to a non-power five school.
Think about this.
You're not giving them.
This school is going to go to a bowl game anyway. Am I correct?
Oh yeah.
This best non-power five school is going to go to a bowl game. Am I correct?
Yes, absolutely.
They're going to play in a bowl game. This year's case, they played in the New Year's Six Bowl on the Chick-fil-A bowl game, which is equivalent of your top bowls. Now, an 18 playoff is still going to be your four top bowls. And then the semifinals will still be two of your top bowls. And then, of course, you get the national championship game. They're going to be in the bowl game anyway. Why not they get them play? They already play in one of the New Year's Six bowl games. Why not give them an opportunity to play? And which technically is still a bowl game.
You can. You just don't guarantee them a spot at the table as the best non-five. I'm not saying you can't
one
choose
spot.
Them. You can absolutely choose them. You can
when
choose,
they're
going to
be in a major bowl game anyway.
My thing is, why not just keep it open for three wild cards? And then if you feel like they're worthy in that year, UCF, then you make them the 8 or the 7 seed. But don't tie the hands of the committee and say you have to take them. That's my only point about it. See, it's a difference.
Well,
you can choose to take them. You can choose not to take them. But if you guarantee them a spot, then you have to take them.
So in the NCAA basketball tournament, one of these lower end conferences, conference champion gets in with like a 22-8 record. But a team like Maryland in the Big Ten might be 18-12, and we think they might be better than that school. You think we should put Maryland in, or we think we should put in that lower school for that conference champion?
They always, man, they're good for leaving out a conference champion and putting in that 18-12 Maryland. They do that all the time. They'll put them in as like a 9 or something crazy. They do it
all the time. But in college basketball, all of your conference champions automatically get in. I'm saying, would you rather see
– Oh, the possible. Yeah. I mean,
would you rather see
12,
a Maryland team get in and take that 18-14 Maryland team who we think is better? Or would you rather put in that conference champion from Fairfield and we're going 22-8
in the conference? But yeah, but Dustin, why they got to be 18-14? I mean, that's a hard case to make when you go make them 18-14. And why can't they be like 23-7 or 23-9?
Well, if you're 23-7 in a Power 5 school, you're going to the NCAA tournament.
No, that's
but
true.
And 18-14 at a Power 5 conference, I mean, 9 times out of 10 on an average day, they're better than that conference champion from the Sun Belt. But they're going to put the Sun Belt in because they got an automatic championship. Would you rather see that Sun Belt conference champion get a shot, or would you rather put that 18-14 Maryland team in?
I would rather see the freshest football teams play and not give them more games to need to have. Is what I would like to have.
Oh, he's not even answering the question.
He's not.
I'm going with the Big Ten. Damn the Southwest Conference champion.
He's got to circumvent the question. He's got to circumvent the question, Rob.
We just had a nice debate
for
y'all tonight.
No, it all ties together. You can't do that in a vacuum. I hear what he's saying, but that's not in a vacuum when you say that, when you talk about also the physicality of a football game and how many games you want to subject them to. I'm taking all of that into consideration by going to 6 and not going to 8.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, long story short,
we agree to disagree.
That's cool.
I'm kind of
it don't happen
all far. Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of in the middle. I mean, I just love the fact that it's going to be it brings excitement. That's where I think he's kind of leaning towards too. Because again, you got some squads that you don't know how they're going to play up against a certain school, and it'd be good to see certain matchups. Like, you know, hey, this would be cool to see that particular game, and they're going to play it in a bowl game. But now let's just add a little something to it. I don't know, you know, if you have to do certain things, but I just think it's good to say, you know, hey, wouldn't it be cool for UCF to play against this school, and then you make that magical matchup happen. If they get beat, you know, hey, it'll shut them up, but at least they have the opportunity to make the play that game. That's kind of, I think, is kind of cool. Sometimes you may get, you know, a Boise. How does Boise State go up against, you know, a Clemson, you know, scoring back and forth? I mean, you know, it's just good to see that matchup, you know. So, again, that's where I see what I'm talking about. I think it's a great idea.
And we've seen it. We've seen these schools pull off the upsets. We've seen Utah before they got in the Pac-12. I don't know if y'all remember this, but they beat Alabama in the Sugar Bowl. We've seen Boise State beat Oklahoma in the Fiesta Bowl, and so we've seen it, and it causes for some great excitement. Now we've seen it on some other games where it didn't work out. I think Hawaii played Georgia in the Sugar Bowl one year, and Georgia just jumped all over them. Yeah, and but we've seen some of these matchups to where, and like I said, these schools are going to be in a bowl game anyway, and we're using the bowl games in the playoff system. And UCF was already in the New Year's Six bowl game, and they're including these schools in a New Year's Six, but they're not including them in the playoffs. And like I said, 9 times out of 10, they'll probably be a number 8 seed. And you know, maybe every once in a while, there may be a team that's better than an 8 seed in this scenario. But you know, if it is going to happen, I still think we're some years away before it happening. So I definitely don't think we're going to see it next year. This, you know, obviously this is just, you know, a fun conversation, and maybe some of our listeners can chime in on their thoughts as well.
UCF would be happy to go to the Citrus Bowl.
Wow,
stop it! That's still a big bowl game for UCF. Listen, is the Citrus Bowl not a big bowl game for the University of Central Florida? It is. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I mean, it is though. You know, I'm right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
We done spent 10 minutes talking about it. This is crazy.
We don't need to talk about college basketball.
We're not. yeah, we're going to talk about really quickly the recap. What a great, what an amazing game, Georgia versus Oklahoma. I know we were all watching that, just the excitement back and forth. Whenever I know me and JQ were texting back and forth, Rob, and we were like, man, Georgia, like, they're going to stand a chance. And then they turned it around, and Baker Mayfield couldn't miss. And then that second half was just a whole other dimension, and it's good. That's what you take to be a good champion. So I don't know your thoughts about that.
Was,
keep it short because literally – yeah, go ahead. We got about 4 minutes here. Go ahead.
I tell you, it was a big turning point in that game, which, you know, I didn't hear a lot of people talking about it after the game. I heard a lot of people talking about it during the game. But that field goal that Georgia scored right before the second half,
yep.
I mean, that was a horrible squib kick by Oklahoma. And Georgia was able to put up – I mean, at that point in the game, Oklahoma was dominating the football game. And they could have easily went into the locker room up 31-14, up 17 points. And a horrible squib kick, Georgia was able to just throw an out pattern and get in field goal range and put up 3 points. Gave them a little bit of momentum, a little bit of hope. And you got to give credit to Kirby Smart. I mean, he made some adjustments defensively. And Georgia clearly has the better personnel. And they were able to show that in the second half from a talent perspective. Defensively, they were able to rise up to the occasion and finally slow down the Oklahoma Sooners. But I think that field goal in the second half was a big turning point, gave Georgia a sense of hope, able to kind of give them a chance to get back in it. Because just think about it, that game went to overtime, 48-48. Without that field goal, Oklahoma wins. And that was a big play and a big bonehead move by Oklahoma, where they just didn't execute it properly, and it wound up help costing them the game. Not the only reason why they lost the game. Obviously, Oklahoma couldn't stop the run, you know, which we knew going into that game. And Georgia's running backs, man, I tell you, they were just running all through that that Oklahoma defense. So when it came down to it in the second half, Georgia was just better in the trenches. And they just, you know, their physicality just dominated Oklahoma when it came into the second half. But like I said, that field goal was key, I thought, and that probably could have been a difference in the game.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, I agree. I thought that too. Kirk Herbstreit kept talking about it during the game. I was just amazed and shocked at how they were able to run on that Georgia defense. I mean, they gave them 500 total yards against Oklahoma. And I know it went into double overtime, but good Lord, I would have never thought that if Georgia gave up that kind of total yardage that they would have won that game with a freshman quarterback. But like you said, that running game, you don't have to make them do a whole lot in those running backs, and you keep them fresh with the three-headed monster they have. That's a big win from Georgia, a lot of resolve that we don't always see from a Georgia team that sometimes folds when things get tough. They get the field goal, they come back in the second half and win on double overtime. Big game for Georgia. They dug deep for that game and brought it out.
Yeah. And one of the things we talked about on the show last week was, you know, could Georgia recover if they get down by a lot? And you know, it was one of the things that hurt them against Auburn offensively in the past. They were not a team that was set up that can come from behind and win like that. But, you know, they went against a team that just could not stop the run. So Georgia didn't really have to drop back and pass every down to really come back in that football game. And so definitely a different opponent than the defensive front that they saw in Auburn when they got behind and their only loss this season, too.
All right, we got a minute 30 or minute 15. So go ahead and set up the OT portion, Rob.
Next week, ladies and gentlemen, we're back on the air on Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. You definitely don't want to miss it. We'll get you a recap of the national championship game and, of course, a recap the wild card weekend in the NFL, get you ready for the divisional round as well. So we'll have a lot to talk about on next week's show, so you definitely don't want to miss it. See you then. Good night, people.
Yes, sir. See you next week, people. Stay and download the show so you can listen to the OT portion. We got more to talk about.
And it's cold all across America, people. Stay warm.
Yeah, absolutely. Get your throw blanket.
Happy New Year to everyone. We definitely appreciate you. Our first show of 2018, it has a nice ring to that, too, so we're going to keep it going. We definitely can't wait to talk to you guys more next week. We've got a lot of things to talk about. We get prepared for draft talk, get some more NBA talk. We're going to be deep into thinking of that and wrapping up to end – NFL playoffs. So we got a lot of things to discuss. Definitely reach out to us, keep those thoughts going, and we'll talk about how JQ thinks that Matt Ryan is a selfish bastard. So a lot of fun things, you know. We're getting into, so. Oh, go ahead. That was hilarious.
Yeah,
that was hilarious.
What about those Bengals, JQ? Knocking out your arch rival Ravens.
Oh man, it was all happening within like a 15-20 minute period. It was crazy. I was like, yeah. Then I got in the car and got stuck in traffic. And I said, no.
I was watching that live when it happened, and I was like, wow.
Yeah, I saw the replay. I was stuck in traffic. I didn't see the play itself, but my phone started buzzing with all the alerts, and I was like, what happened? And then I saw him. I was like, oh, wow, Andy Dalton, really? And the game don't mean nothing. I told you, that dude is awesome.
That's crazy. And Carson Palmer retired.
Do you have a nickname for him like you do for Matt Ryan?
No, I just cut them out, and then I just turned the TV off so that I don't be in a bad mood for the rest of the day with my family.
I'm sorry, Andre, you talking about Carson Palmer?
No, I was just saying, too, that he actually retired.
Yeah.
Too, man. I know that had some. Yeah, that was kind of interesting, too, kind of 15-year career. Raiders, Bengals, obviously, and then wrapping up with the Cardinals there. So, man, that's crazy.
Oh, I got me a couple of Palmer jerseys.
Yeah, so the Cardinals, head coach retired, Bruce Arians, and now the quarterback retired, Carson Palmer. So,
look out for Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah,
look out for Larry Fitzgerald retiring.
Yeah. So, it could be a really new regime there in Arizona when you talk about head coach / quarterback. It will be a new regime. So it'll be interesting to watch which direction they go from a head coach. Mm-hmm. Obviously, from a quarterback standpoint, I mean, they have a top 10 pick, I believe. It's a deep draft when it comes to the quarterback position. So they may going to have their pickings here in this draft.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. All right. Just a little excited about that, too. We'll talk about Black Monday here, a lot of coaching movement and firing and things that happen, too. But if we get a second, we got a lot of things to talk about, too, guys. I can't stay too much longer past 12, so anyway, I want to get all these topics in as much as we can. We're going to skip college basketball. Let's prepare for the championship game here, predictions, the number 4 Alabama at number 3 Georgia. This is kind of what we expected. You got the pupil versus the teacher, Nick Saban versus Kirby Smart. If I'm not mistaken, Rob, in Kirby Smart, like 6-0 versus his previous assistants or something crazy like that, there's an interesting stat. I don't know if you know that off the top of your head, too.
Nick Saban.
What did I say?
You said Kirby Smart.
I'm so sorry. I'm saying Nick Saban is. Yeah, but go ahead. You knew what I meant with that, too.
Well, yeah, obviously, Nick Saban has had success against Derek Dooley, who's also one of his former assistants. Obviously, beat Jimbo Fisher this year in that first game of the season against Florida State. And I tell you what, I don't really like neither one of these programs. And I really don't.
You don't? You don't, Rob? No, you don't.
And, I don't know if I really care who wins. And I still think it's a very hard game to predict, too, because you can make a case that Georgia with their running game and their defense as well, even though the defense didn't show up against Oklahoma, a lot of teams have not slowed down Oklahoma this season. But you can make a case for that game being played in Atlanta that you can make a case for them. But I just can't pick against Alabama. I'm sorry. I just think Nick Saban, as you just mentioned, 6-0 against his students. And this might be his best opportunity to lose against one of his students, but I just can't pick against Alabama. The game is in Atlanta, but, from a distribution, from a ticket standpoint, it'll probably be 50-50 split or at least close to it. Georgia might outnumber them a little bit in the stands here. But to me, you can't pick against Nick Saban in Alabama, unfortunately. I hate to see him win another doggone national championship. but it's going to be a much low scoring game than we saw against Georgia and Oklahoma. I'll go something to the effects of 24-14 Alabama or 24-17.
Wow. See, my dad is from Mobile and he is all road tied, so I definitely don't want to have to hear him talk about another national title. But I'm going to pick Alabama, and
what did they do last week against a freshman quarterback? Oh, yeah, they made him look pretty bad. Who does Georgia have? Oh, they also have a freshman quarterback. That's a big statement. Yeah, you know, in that month, they also prepared for Georgia and Oklahoma. So they're not going into this cold. They know what they need to do against Georgia. It's a lot of what they need to do against Clemson is slow down that running game and make that freshman quarterback beat you throwing the ball. I agree with you, Rob. 7-10 point game. Alabama wins.
Wow, yeah. Good call.
Now, this running game Georgia has probably 10 times better than Clemson. And I will say that, but I just still can't pick against Alabama. And what ultimately is another SEC championship in Atlanta, or the place of the SEC championship games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I
think it's tough, Rob, because like you nailed it, it's tough to pick against Alabama because Alabama's got that, you know, the pedigree and the coaching that's been there, you know. So you would lean towards that. But I do think it's interesting because Kirby Smart was pretty much part of that whole program too. So that's why it's tough from that perspective. If there is an opportunity for the win, it would be this game. They're playing with a lot of momentum. That game against Alabama was like against Oklahoma was a heavyweight fight because they were taking all their punches. In the second half, they just rose up, guys. They literally came back. That's a championship team to come through, senior leadership, the running backs. I mean, you know, they're going to throw everything they have at Alabama. And Jake Fromm really grew up. I mean, you would think a freshman quarterback, you would think that he would crumble. He did not. You know, they tried to stop the run. They couldn't. Jake made some great passes. And, you know, I'm not saying that I'm like all Georgia because, you know, I'm just a
window.
I just think, you know, it's just one of those games. But, yeah, with you 100% too.
Well, I thought you hated Georgia.
I can't stand
it. You should.
You know, what I'm saying is, you know, you can't count them out. I'm trying to be objective. The one time I'm objective here. But, again, like I said, this is the game. It's like you lean towards Alabama 100%, guys, because of everything that you said, pedigree, coaching, experience, all that jazz. But you do have – this could be the team that could do that because, again, it's just one of the situations where, you know, if Nick Saban was like, I'm going to make Jake Fromm beat me, you know, you've got a lot of running backs for Georgia that keep throwing at him. And then, you know, Jalen Hurts is still pretty young too. So it's that – what's that one thing that you're going to lean on? Coaching. So, you know, Nick Saban may have the advantage of that too. But like I said, it's going to be a great game no matter what too. So, anyway, that's my two cents on that too. All right. Hey, Rob, you need the fantasy shout-outs real quick? Talk about some fantasy shout-outs here. We'll get some
All right, fantasy shout-outs for the week.
NFL.
We had three in fantasy basketball. We had three winners that won 7-1. Will from Madison, Wisconsin, is I'm So Harden team over Blue Devil All-Stars. Of course, JQ's team, Ohio Player, 7-1 over Naptown Unibrows. And Andre's team, Triple Double, 7-1 over the Droop. Saints, Pelicans, Ronald from New Orleans still in first place with a 63-23-2 record. And those are the fantasy shout-outs for this past week.
I'm coming for you, Ronald. I'm coming for you.
Yeah, we're all coming for you, man. We're making some moves, man. It's going to be fun for sure. I'm excited about this. Let's get some NFL guys. I meant to say NBA, but I got to cut this show short because I got to do some last-minute stuff too. But let's talk about some NFL here and some moves about the Patriots here. I don't know why Rob keeps torturing me. Should we be concerned about the Patriots? Is this we, the NFL, the league, or we as far as the outside looking in, Rob? What is this topic about, man, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, basically – I guess should the Patriots be concerned going into the playoffs is probably been the right way to word the topic. But I would say from an athletic ability standpoint, if Pittsburgh is healthy, I know the game will probably be, well, will be in Foxborough. I still just like them from an athletic standpoint more than I do the Patriots. But for somehow, just like we say, it's hard to predict against Nick Saban. It'll still be hard to bet against Belichick and Brady, too. But just like in the Super Bowl, I mean, going into that game last year, I thought Atlanta was definitely clearly the more athletic team. But New England just found a way to win, of course, in the end. And Brady's 40 years old. They got 2 weeks to rest him up and get him ready for the playoffs. So I think ultimately in the end, it's still going to be hard to predict against them, but when you look from a talent standpoint, if Pittsburgh's got a healthy Antonio Brown you have to think that they're the more athletic team and could possibly beat New England, but it's still hard for me to predict against Belichick and Brady if Brady is definitely playing.
Well, yeah, you said it. How do you pick against Bill Belichick, for one, in that scenario? Because you really can't do it. And for two, losing Ryan Shazier for Pittsburgh was a really big blow. He might be the fastest linebacker in the league, and he is their captain and the signal caller in the middle of that defense. If there's one break that I know, if I'm not putting on New England saying, yeah, all right, that happened. But that's a big break for them not having to go against them with Shazier. And New England has success against Pittsburgh in the playoffs, and they got to come to Foxborough without Shazier. Yeah, that's tough. So if you're looking at that from that standpoint, you feel like, you know, you're not concerned if we make the Super Bowl. You want to win it, but, you know, you got to at least be in it to win it. So if you made the Super Bowl, you can still say, hey, I'm not, you know, they were good enough to come through the AFC. So I wouldn't be super concerned about them. Like you said, 2 weeks of rest and get ready, prepare for anybody they're going to meet. I think they're going to, unfortunately, be in it again.
Shout out to Trey Young from Oklahoma. Boy, that kid putting up numbers.
Yeah, he's going nuts.
Yeah, he's eating that Steph Curry.
Yeah, right. Easy, but easy. Yeah, he's good, but he's easy.
That's what they're trying to compare him to. Like, wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. This is an interesting topic, too, as far as the Packers underachieving with Aaron Rodgers. I don't agree with this at all. This is a tough question. I think maybe it's related to wasted time because, again, Aaron Rodgers has done nothing but, you know, definitely carry that team on his back. They have not, I think, gave him enough to get around, you know, maybe offensive line, running backs. He's made it work, man. He's put just made some incredible strides. But that's what I would say as far as maybe not underachieving with that, but just not surrounding him with enough talent. Even with what he's had, he's been doing fantastic. So Packers need to get it together. That's my thought on that. Go ahead, Shaquille.
Yeah, I mean, but the question is, have the Packers underachieved with them? So I would say
there it is.
Yes, they've had a lot of injuries actually over the past couple of years. But they've been, when that happens, they don't have the kind of depth you think they should have as an organization. They have some good players, don't get me wrong. But when you have that kind of talent in Aaron Rodgers' quarterback position, you got to give him, to your point, Dre, other things around him. He's got wide receivers, but the defense always hasn't been great outside of, you know, Clay Matthews and a little bit of time with, goodness, the defensive end from North Carolina. But it's not consistent enough to where they have things. You have another guy on the other side of the ball that can just, you know, dominate and match what Rodgers is doing on the offensive side of the ball. So as an organization, I would say, yeah, but I don't think it's any slight on Aaron Rodgers. He's done more with less than just about anybody.
Rob?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think from when you have a quarterback of his caliber, you would think that they would have competed in more Super Bowls with Aaron Rodgers at the quarterback position, and they've only been to one. Obviously, they won it when he got there, but you would think that a quarterback with his caliber, they would have been competing in more championships. And they all haven't always had the running game. They haven't always had an offensive line. And their defense hasn't always been top-notch. Obviously, they just fired Dome Capers this season, too. But, yes, I would definitely make the case that they have underachieved. I mean, I'll make the same argument for Drew Brees. I think the Saints have underachieved with him, even though they did win one Super Bowl as well, for the same exact reasons. Not necessarily the offensive line. The Saints have always been pretty good in that department. But from a running game standpoint, or lack of running the football in defense, was the same reason that's prevented Drew Brees from competing in more championships too. But I would definitely say they underachieve with Rodgers.
I would agree with that. That's a good comparison.
Playoff predictions here. Let's get these out there and wrap the show. Very good matchups here. And let's kick it off with the Titans at the Chiefs. Go ahead with your thoughts, JQ.
Mariota's been so uneven this year that it's hard for me to pick them on the road at Arrowhead. I mean, Andy Reid has, you know, he's had his struggles in the playoffs, but you got to give him credit for the fact that Philadelphia, at least he was making it to NFC title games.
He wasn't being Marvin Lewis and losing in the first round every year. So I'm going to give him a little bit of credit. I'm just saying, you got to give him credit for actually winning playoff games. He's at home against an uneven, still young quarterback. I'm going to take Kansas City. They're going to run the ball, play defense.
I agree. I like Kansas City's matchup. Obviously, Kansas City got off to a fast start this season, playing outstanding, went 5-0. And, of course, in that middle of the season, they went to a slump. And they kind of finished the year kind of stronger again. We're winning, I think, 3 or 4 in a row here down on the back end and finishing 10-6. So they got a little bit of momentum going into the playoffs. They're at home. That's going to be a tough place to play for the Titans. And the Titans, like I said, Titans are 9-7. They, you know, just barely got into the playoffs. Obviously, they beat Jacksonville there in the last game of the season. Yeah, I think Kansas City can really win this game by 10 to 14 points.
I agree.
Gotcha, America. There's no more Music City Miracle for you guys. So there it is. Wow. Anyway, let's keep it moving here. Let's talk about the – I thought that was pretty cool, guys, by the way. Let's talk about the Falcons at the Rams here. And JQ, I know we had a good time at the game, man. I know we weren't sure which Falcon team showed up. I still think that the Falcons have a lot of flaws. They're running into a very explosive, but very young and experienced Rams team, which is why some people are picking the Falcons. But what are your thoughts on that, sir?
Yeah, and just to give everybody that downloads the OT a tidbit into what happened. So we were watching the game, and it goes into this piece of it. And there were multiple times where Matt Ryan, instead of just taking the check down to Devontae, he was open in space where he wasn't going to get tackled right away. He still had at least 2 more yards at minimum to get, but Matt was trying to go further down the field and make a more difficult throw, and he wasn't making it. And I'm sitting there, and that's why I called him a selfish bastard, and I called him a greedy bastard, because he had yards and plays on the field to keep the chains moving and keep them ahead of schedule, and he wasn't making it. If Matt Ryan comes out and plays, then the Rams win. But if the Matt Ryan that will take what is given to him, because we think about it, that Rams defense has not been real great down the stretch of the season. They've given up a lot of points. But if he takes what they give him and you keep that offense off the field for the Rams and you shorten this game, they have a chance to win it. But if he gets greedy and not take what they give him, the Rams could blow the Falcons out.
Yeah, selfish bastard. That was hilarious. We had a great time with that, too. And we were sitting there watching this, Rob. We were like, oh, my gosh, seeing everything in the field. And he refused. We're like, what are you doing, Matt? Make the easy play.
Yeah.
It was nuts. Oh, gosh. Go ahead, Rob.
So what's your prediction, JQ?
I didn't really give one, to be honest. I'm going to go. I'm going to go with the Falcons and being the more experienced team in the playoffs than the Rams. Not happy to be there, but sometimes it's a stepping stone when you get to the playoffs and be able to progress to the playoffs. I'm going to go with the Falcons.
Yep.
The Bengals signed their offensive coordinator to a contract extension, Bill Lazor.
I saw that. You just answered the question.
Well, I tell you what, out of all 4 games, this has been the toughest one for me to predict and go back and forth on it quite often here.
Sure has.
I think this is one of the 2 NFC matchups are definitely the 2 best matchups in this wild card round. But this is definitely one that I've gone back and forth on. And I can make a case for definitely Atlanta going on the road and win this game with their playoff experience and still with the offensive weaponry that they have. And quietly, Atlanta's defense has been very, very sound here the last 3 to 4 weeks of the season, too.
Mm-hmm.
They've definitely gotten better on a defensive standpoint. But I'm going to go with the Rams in a really close game on this one. At home, finding their way, even though they don't have a great home field advantage. but I would have to think that their fans are going to show up to some degree for this matchup. But I'm just going to go with Todd Gurley, the way he's been playing down the stretch. You know, I'm sure he's excited about what Georgia's doing right now, too. So I'm going to go with with Todd Gurley and Jared Goff and Sean McVay and Wade Phillips putting together a defensive game plan for the Rams to pull this one out. I think it's going to be a great game. I think L.A. wins 31-28 in a close one.
Well, see,
tough man
that out. Piece you got to remember, the Rams don't have Greg Zuerlein either. Megatron is out for the season with a herniated disc in his back. That's coming down. It's just a close game. Yeah, it hurts the kicking game a lot because he was for real. When your nickname is Legatron, I'm just saying, you're doing it big.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. This is the one game, too, man. If I wasn't DJing a gig on Saturday, I would love to be there, man. This is going to hurt me, but good call on that. Next game, Bills at
Jaguars. You
going
to fly to L.A.?
I wish I would. I can't. I got a DJ. If I didn't have a gig, I would be there because it's just a fun experience. Yeah.
You see that?
Let me tell you a little something about Andre maybe 10, 12 years ago.
Let's not do this right now, bro.
Thank you.
Seriously, now's the time to do this. Yeah. We'll talk about this later, man.
10, 12 years ago, if the Falcons were playing JQ, he wouldn't even take a job.
I won't take any calls, man. That's true.
I used to hire Andre to work with me sometimes on some production shoots. And if the Falcons were playing, he would come work with me. But if the Falcons were playing, he would always turn me down.
I'm going to the point that man said if I wasn't DJing, I was just going to go buy me a plane ticket. And you know he buys two because Marcy going. They just going to fly to L.A. and go to the game. Yeah, you just let that fly under the radar. I was like, for real, dog? You just going to get on a plane and fly to L.A. and go cross-country and go to the game?
No, I mean, we would have planned it out.
That's how you live it?
No, we would have planned it out.
You
wouldn't
have been able to plan it out. You didn't find out until Sunday.
You would have known until Sunday, 6 days before.
Yeah, you didn't know until Sunday.
Right. I'm saying. I would have looked up some things to see if I made happen. But, you know, I ain't saying it would be cool to make that happen, you know? Hey, man,
he's a big baller now. I'm proud of him, though. He's putting his business before his Falcons now. But and Andre can't deny it because I'm telling you, 12, 15 years ago, he would have been like, nah, bro, I ain't going to be able to make it, man. You know, you're going to have to look at somebody else.
Hey, listen, I appreciate him growing. That's growing. I appreciate him growing. But the fact that he was 6 days out was going to go buy tickets to get on a plane and then get into the stadium, ball out, Andre. I love it. Ball out.
I was looking at how it works. I ain't saying I'm all that. I'm just saying it's all good. I would have seen. I'd have to at least check it out. I made a couple of phone calls. Is what I'm trying to say.
Big ball.
Anyway,
shot call.
Hey, I accept.
Right,
he's
calling you, Rob.
We'll
hey, Rob, you got some jump passes for your boy in L.A.?
I would have. I would have made a couple calls. Hey, man, if we gonna fly out Friday, man, we'd have made it work.
Andre, man, I got to shoot down to Savannah this Sunday, man. You gonna come down with? You wanna work with me? No, man, the Falcons playing at the same time, man. I'm sorry, you gotta look somebody else.
I'm not gonna deny. Yeah, it was back in the day.
It's true.
I'm not gonna deny it. Let's keep this going here. Very intriguing matchup here, in the Bills versus the Jaguars because it could be all about quarterback playing. You got the upstart Jaguars, you know, and again, this is talking about the future of the Bills too. So, Rob, what do you think about this particular, you know, this game? Because, you know, the Jaguars, they look like they're up and coming, had a couple of little bumps. This could be a turning point. And then for the Bills, this could be the end of the era for Tyrod Taylor to say, okay, is he the guy or the Bills have to do a rebuild? So what are your thoughts on that, sir?
Neither one of these AFC games excite me at all, to be totally honest with you. I think the two NFC matchups are the better matchups this weekend. But, you know, it is still playoff football. And I think there's one thing that uh-oh. Interests me, you know, just seeing how Leonard Fournette does, you know, with Jacksonville here in the playoffs. But if there's any reason for me to watch that game, it would be for that reason. But it doesn't really excite me at all. But I'm going to go with Jacksonville. I think their defense will show up here. Buffalo, there was a stretch in this season where they looked like the worst team in the league. For them to rebound and make it to the playoffs is a little surprising. They lost a couple of games by like 50-something to 10 and to the Chargers, and the Saints beat them like 49 to 10 the week before. And although the Chargers, to me, is a team that a lot of teams in the AFC better be happy or not in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
I tell you, outside of New England and Pittsburgh, I think they're the third best team in the AFC.
And, I agree.
And they're not even going to the playoffs. And or you can make a case that they're right there with the Chiefs as that third or fourth best team in the AFC. But I like Jacksonville at home in this game. I'm not that impressed with Buffalo. And, I mean, Jacksonville hasn't been that impressive either. But I think at home they will, their defense will show up. Their running game will show up. I'm going to go 24-14 Jacksonville.
They're
going
to have to
make a big thing. Yeah, and, you know, I hate to pick Blake Bortles because I just am not a believer in him. But the bigger thing for me is Buffalo and the help of LeSean McCoy. He got carted off in that game that they won, and they had to depend on the Bengals to beat the Ravens. And he's not been practicing. How effective is he? Because he is the machine that even gives Buffalo and that offense a chance to win that game. If he's not in that game, it could get ugly where that offense for Buffalo doesn't do anything, and they give Blake Bortles a lot of short fields where he doesn't have to go 80 yards to get a touchdown or a field goal. He's got to go 40 yards. And if you keep doing that, he's got enough talent to make that happen along with that defense. So I'm gonna go with Jacksonville just because I don't think they're going to get a healthy McCoy to have to deal with.
Next matchup, this is up Rob's Creek here, man. You got the and I gave you a congratulations as far as the Saints winning the division.
Oh, thanks to you guys. Panthers. Thanks to the Falcons helping us out.
Hey, man, don't say we didn't do everything for you, even though you guys missed the kick to get us in the last playoffs, but I'm not going to hold any grudges. But anyway, let's talk about this Panthers-Saints game, Rob. And one thing that was interesting, and me and Jake, you were talking about this Sunday, we thought that the Panthers were going to fold and at some point because, you know, they are already in the playoffs and we weren't thinking they were going to play as hard. They kept Cam Newton into the whole time, and I think it made his confidence even worse because, you know, he made some bad throws. He had a terrible quarterback rating. You don't want to go into the playoffs playing like that. So I think we may have helped you even more in this instance, Rob, or it can go the total opposite direction. But the Panthers have some flaws for sure. Greg Olsen still doesn't look 100% healthy to me, but Cam is not the same Cam for whatever reason. So what are your thoughts on that, Rob? Let you have the floor.
Well, I mean, obviously it's a playoff game. I think the Panthers will be motivated. And the Saints beat the Carolina twice this season, too. So I think that's another reason. It's tough to beat a team three times.
Hard to beat a team three times. Yep.
And so do I think Carolina will be motivated? And the last time the Saints and Carolina played against each other, when the Saints beat them in New Orleans, Cam Newton at his press conference after the game, he said it. He said, "We're probably going to see this team again in the playoffs." And so he was right. That being said, I think the Saints are going to beat Carolina for three straight times. And the reason why I say that, I may sound like a homer. Marshawn Lattimore didn't play in either matchup against Carolina. It just so happened Lattimore missed three games this season, and two of them were the games against Carolina. And the Carolina receiving core does not scare anybody. And I think that's why the Saints were still able to have success against Carolina without Marshawn Lattimore. So with that being said, I think the Saints could really focus on stopping Carolina's running game and neutralizing Cam Newton from running as well and kind of play a little bit man-to-man on some of the on a perimeter with Lattimore actually playing healthy and actually playing this week. And, of course, with the success that they're having with Marcus Williams at free safety and Ken Crawley also at the other corner. And I just think it's just a good matchup for the Saints, the Carolina Panthers. And I like the Saints in this one. I think Carolina is going to come out with some fight and some moxie. It's a playoff game. I'm going to go with a similar score to the last time we beat Carolina. I'm going to go 31-21 Saints.
Nice.
Yeah, and the point you made is why I have a hard time with this game because it's so hard to beat a team three times in the same season, especially a division rival that knows you so well. But your point about Lattimore is very valid. Funches is still banged up. And then I like those safeties. And then also Von Bell and Vaccaro against Greg Olsen, who's not 100%. I don't have the guts to pick Carolina. I wanted to pick Carolina just because I just think it's so hard to beat a team three straight times, especially when he's on his game, 8-3. You know, transcended Cam Newton playing the quarterback position. But in that dome in New Orleans, you talked about has New Orleans underachieved with Drew Brees. Here's their chance to get on a roll with a weakened Philadelphia team without Carson Wentz, a young team in L.A. out with golf. I just can't pick Carolina to beat New Orleans. I'm going to go with New Orleans.
Nice. And there you have it. You made Rob very happy again. So, gentlemen, it's been fun sharing
but
the battle.
But I do believe if you really look at it, a lot of years, I mean, I did pick all four home teams in this wild card round.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at it, in most years, you have at least one road team that wins. And so, from the Saints standpoint, you want to make sure you're not that team that loses at home. I think the Falcons are the one road team this weekend that has the best chance at winning.
I agree.
So I do. Yeah. So if there is going to be one road team that wins, in my opinion, I think it would be the Falcons. They're the team with the best chance to win on the road this weekend.
That was my road pick. I picked the Falcons.
There it is. All right, Rob, wrap up the show, man. Again, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you all tuning in to another edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We had a lot of fun. Make sure you continue to follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and definitely we'll get you all the sports, what's happening in the sports world. Next week we'll be back on the air once again at 12. I'm sorry, not 12. It'll be 12 o'clock in it'll be 12 midnight in Dominican Republic. Yeah, I got it right. Yeah, so in Dominican Republic, it'll be 12. It'll be 11 p.m. on the East Coast. It'll be I had to kind of cover myself. I had to come back with it. 10 o'clock Central Time Zone in Chicago. For our fans in Los Angeles, San Francisco, Seattle, Portland, all up along the West Coast. That's going to be 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on next Wednesday night, so you don't want to miss us on next week. Good night, people. Thanks for tuning in.
Absolutely. Thanks for hanging in there with us, Dre. Go have you a nightcap. Happy birthday, bro. I'll let y'all people
appreciate that, bro. I was going to say, give you props, too, because, again, it's funny because that was the first time me and JQ met, right? And the wifey, she was like, oh, my gosh, you've never met him before? You guys have such great chemistry on the show. So, again, shout out to us, to the show, man. It's been fun talking with
Absolutely.
You guys, too, man. So,
we're still overdue for the three of us to connect, too.
Yeah.
Well, if you stop being high side when you come into town, then maybe we can make that happen, Rob. Oh, I was in Atlanta. Weren't you in Atlanta, Rob?
You guys a couple of times. It just didn't work out with everybody's schedules, but, you know.
But how many times have you been here without us knowing?
I know a lot of times I've been coming in and out so fast, but I definitely, definitely soon, because I think I do have to be in Atlanta the weekend of, I believe, the 20th, but the weekend of the 19th through the 21st.
January?
So, in a few weeks.
Okay.
So we'll try to see if we can make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Cool. All right,
we mean you.
If even if it's us just going to a sports bar or watching the game or something.
Yeah, just for us just to hang out, man, get a quick shot, man, because it's just cool times, man. And like I said, me and Jake, you had a ball, man. So fun times, and like I said, that's one of the cherished moments we had, man. And Jake, I got to get a color rush jersey some way, somehow, man. So that's definitely on my on my wish list too, man. So that was pretty dope, man. So
and Jake, you got to be careful to you know what you're putting on your body.
Hey, easy. Listen, I like the Falcons. I love the Bengals. I've lived there for 16 years. I want the Falcons to do well, but it don't crush my spirit when they lose. Like, if the Bengals had lost that Super Bowl 28-3, my spirit would have been crushed. Like, I was hurt for the Falcons fans that I know, and I want the city of Atlanta to do well, but it don't mess my day-to-day up. If that had been the Bengals, that would have messed me up for a long time.
Yeah, we're still messed up. We still sore a little bit, no matter what. So we still sore for some kind of way, man. That's why we just don't have the same type of confidence, man, because it's just anyway, we're not dominating, so every game is a challenge, but we'll make it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anyway, gentlemen, see you. We'll keep the lines of communication open. Looking forward to this weekend and the games. And other than that, happy New Year, fam, and please, guys, be safe, and I'm going to have some fun, guys. Thank you so much. We'll talk soon, okay?
All right, bro. Go enjoy it.
Yes, sir. Yep. Yes, sir.